Now, here we are enlisting the decision making process step by step. There are 7 steps, 6 are on this slide, 7th is in the next one. Very simple common sense. Identification of a problem. The manager clearly identifies what the problem is and he should separate the concern. Then comes diagnosing the problem. The problem is understood from a very diagnostic angle. The manager should act as a doctor and diagnose the problem with the help of available information. Then we collect and analyze the relevant information. I get a plethora of information in front of me. I've got to choose the ones which are relevant and give away the ones which are not relevant, right? The manager should collect information at various levels and study the information with great care. Discovery of alternate course of action. Creative thinking is necessary to develop or discover many alternate courses of action. So these are the various, this is the information I've collected, and then I need to know how to act upon it. How to act upon it creatively also. Take a different paths of action. Analyzing the alternatives, the pros and cons of available alternatives are analyzed and compared with each other. If I take action A, it will give outcomes which are plus and minus. Action B will give me outcomes plus and minus. Now, which of the plus and minus is more important? Which is going to do group good? Is it A or is it B? I've got to understand. Every decision, like I told you, has got plus and minus. But that decision which has got more of plus and less of minus is supposed to be the best decision. Right? And then finally, screening of the alternatives. The available alternatives are screened in an order of benefits derived from them. Each alternative is evaluated in terms of risks involved in implementing them. Verbose is given in a very worded form. I've explained to you what you need to do is at the end of the day, what is giving group good in terms of what has been decided in the planning, one has to take that decision, right? And the 7th step is the selection of the best alternative based on decision analysis, experience, experimentation, research and analysis. Now this is where the subjectivity comes. I must have been a good decision maker for the last 20 years. But now when I take a decision, there is no guarantee that it will actually come out with the outcome which is for the group good. It's possible. It's very much possible. And then somebody will turn around and say, hey, you took a decision like this and things went wrong. It's possible. So let me be aware about one fact that at the time of taking a decision, well, it might click, it might not click, but at the end of it, the decision has to be taken. But in most cases, let me assure you, in most cases, if you have been a person who's been taking decisions, taking the risk of decision making frequently, then over a period of time, you start developing that particular hang of it. And your decisions usually do not go wrong, usually. But don't be too sure all the time. That's my word of caution. That pause is important, even for veterans of decision making. That pause tells us something which nobody tells you, right? Consider that there are 3 alternatives. We want to select one of them. The selected alternative should give maximum benefits to the organization and it should fit with the organization objectives. Now, there are 2 types of objectives we talk about, the must-haves and the ones that are want. Must objectives and want objectives. Must is compulsory, it should be there. Want is addition to that. Must is everybody should report at 9 a.m. to the company at the office. 9 a.m. they should be there. Must. That's a policy, let's say. Want will be, I want to see that they are before time. I want to see that they come properly transported. I want to see that they are doing this. Number of wants are there with the must. Must is leading. Wants come later. Must has to happen. There's no negotiation on must. In want, there could be different types of gradations, right? The alternatives have to fulfill the must objectives. Otherwise, the alternative is considered as no-go. A certain transportation system is going to bring people from quite far off to the office. What is a must? 9 a.m. everybody should be there. But that transportation is going through a certain area which is crowded. So it's a no-go. I'll not use a transportation system. No, sorry. So the must is the basis of the taking a decision for the transportation system. Right? Then a weightage is attached to each want objective. As to how much important it is for the organization. I want people to come by this route. I want people to come and have their breakfast at so-and-so time. I want people to be in the workplace by 9:15. After arriving at 9 o'clock, 9:15, they have their breakfast and come. So there are a few wants. Now, which want is more important than which other want? Let's say there is want W1, W2, W3, W4. W1, what is the weightage? 7 on a scale of 10. Important. Want W2 on a scale of 1 to 10, it could be 8. More important than the earlier one. So, I have to put them down in gradation. Okay? The alternatives are then evaluated as to how far each one is fulfilling the want objective. On a scale of 1 to 10, just to give an example. Then the weight score is calculated as follows. What is a weight score? A weight score simply says that there is a must, which is X, and there is a weight score of W1, W2, W3, W4. Put them together and you will get a certain figure. It is just a figurative way of telling you what is more important, what is less important. On the basis of which, we come across a decision. The following alternative is selected. The alternative which is go in a must objective test and which has maximum weight score. After this, it is also analyzed whether there would be any other adverse consequences because of the selection of this alternative. 20 kilometers away is a place where the employees are living and beyond. Say 30 to 20 kilometers in that particular area, people are living, employees. They are coming to the company and they have to be there at 9 o'clock, must. Now they could come in their own cars. One, want. Second could be, they could be having a common transport system arranged by the company. There are four routes to reach the organization premises. Route 1 has got certain complexities. Route 2 has got certain other complexities. Route 3 has got certain other complexities. And Route 4, certain other complexities. Now, I need to give weightage to each of the four routes in such a way that I am able to map which of the four routes is giving me the maximum advantage of ensuring that the chances of people reaching the office is higher before time, at 9 or before 9. So I have got to hire a transporter who is going to be ensuring that people reach at 9 o'clock. And I've got to ensure that somehow 9 o'clock we have to be here. And then I have to ensure that it comes through a certain route only. In planning, we talked about alternate plans also. Now this is a decision I'm taking here. Then I have to keep the alternate plans. Weightage highest is a first option. Next highest is second option and third and fourth. So on that basis we take the decision, and also we need to think of adverse consequences. What could go wrong? In that particular route which I have decided, things might go wrong on a certain day. Contingency planning. So what should I do on that day so that my 9 a.m. is still taken care of? Right? The experience of the manager is also very important. His past experience. Situations keep changing from time to time. So the past decision should be suitably amended to suit the present situation. Experience is a very good teacher, no doubt. But experience should not bog you down to say that I did it this way, then it should be the same way now. Experience should be a guide rather than a pointer saying that it should be only this way. Experimentation. When I'm not too sure, then I need to experiment. I need to take some chances, trial and error. So each alternative is put into practice and results are observed. And the alternative which gives best results will be selected. And this is an expensive and time-consuming approach. Experimentation way of taking decisions. First one, we talk about experience way of taking decisions. Second, we talk about experimentation. Then we go for research and analysis. In case of critical situation, a lot of calculations are completed with the help of computers and the decision is taken. Okay? And now, decision-making process, conversion of decision into action leads to the implementation as such, the action, and then the verifying the decision, how well it has been taken in terms of the maximum benefits to the company. So now, we'll be discussing about principles of decision-making. Now, certain types of decisions that are taken, you know, we are using mathematical models in management. See, decision making is basically a human directed action, right? But when you're taking complex decisions for organizations, we resort to certain mathematical models, certain things drawn from mathematics, from economics and other things and all. Broadly, decision making will be of two types. What I call it as quantitative decision making based on numbers, measurables, and the other one is qualitative decision making. So as I'm running through these various principles of decision making, you can try and connect it with each of them or both of them together, right? So let's start off with talking about the first one, which is called the marginal theory of decision making. Marginal theory of decision making, as the name suggests, is drawn from economics based on what we call the law of diminishing returns. The very purpose of the organization is aimed at maximizing profits. Decision making should be based on marginal analysis. What are we doing in this? If the management appoints additional labor and uses additional capital, the production may be increased proportionately. A decision of this type may be taken. If the management appoints additional labor and uses additional capital, the production may be increased proportionately. This could be one of the decisions. Now, in this decision, how do we take the decision? Taking it further, a time comes when there is no increase in production with appointment of additional labor and using additional capital. At a certain point of time, when I introduced additional labor and additional capital, it was giving me the type of returns that I wanted. But there comes a time when it does not work anymore. If I continue to take that type of decision again, it will be disastrous for the company. The returns that are coming from investment of this sort in this decision is reducing, it's diminishing. So when I take a decision, it is based on the fact that at the time of taking a decision, I'm getting the maximum return out of it. Now, when you start off listening to a lecture, for example, you start enjoying it initially, I suppose so. After some time, there is what is called the flapper valve theory that comes into picture, listening. So after about say 15-20 minutes, there's a diminishing returns on your understanding of the subject. So what is the decision you'll take? You'll switch off. Or you may keep listening, keep hearing me, but you may not understand what I'm saying. So in decision making, one has to know the point at which the diminishing returns is happening. When the returns are not coming, when it's not worth it anymore, you stop taking the decision. This is the marginal theory of decision making. Next. What we call it as a probability theory. The probability theory is based on statistics. The example given here is, consider the probability of selecting a diamond card from a deck of 52 playing cards. The playing cards has got 52 cards, out of which we take that particular thing called diamond. There are diamonds, spades, hearts and clubs. Four different colors are there. Two colors and four different shapes are there, right? Now, since there are 13 diamonds in a deck, the probability is just 13 by 52. Suppose I'm shuffling a card, I'm removing one card. What is the probability that there'll be a diamond card coming out of the 52 cards? The probability is out of the 52, there are 13 which are diamond. So the probability is that one of the 13 may come in my hand. So it is 13 by 52, which is 1/4. So there's a 1/4 chance that a card which I pull out may be a diamond card. Now this probability theory is used in many scenarios in business wherein we are talking about numbers. When I take a market research, when I want to position a product in a particular segment, then I use a lot of probability theory, not this alone, but with other theories also in decision making. Next, we talk about queuing theory. Queuing theory is a mathematical study of waiting lines or queues. In a queuing theory, a model is constructed so that the queue lengths and waiting times can be predicted. The number of callers, the number of people who are calling you, you are a service center, right? So it's a very active service center, a complaints department, let us say. And there are a number of callers who are coming in. Now I want to know how to give a good service to the callers. So I need to know in what queuing order they are waiting one behind the other. And so what I do is I create a certain type of model. And I try to simulate. Simulation means I try to take the real conditions and put it into some sort of an action there. And when I simulate, I realize that if a caller is taking, let's say, 2 minutes minimum and let's say 20 minutes maximum, I have to arrive at some figures, right? On the basis of that, I will try to see what could be the worst case scenario and what could be the best case scenario. So in a queuing theory, what am I doing? I am actually putting the thing in a timeline of a queue. And through the queuing theory, I can arrive at certain types of decision makings, actions, which are going to take us to a proper type of a client servicing or a complaints servicing. Just to give an example. So queuing theory is another one which we are using. And then we also have the psychological theory of decision making, which is based on the person's thinking process, his mind, his psychology. A manager takes a decision on the basis of his own aspiration, his own technological skills, which he has, his own personality, his experience, his social status, etc. Okay. Next, we talk about principle of alternatives. As told about, decision making is a selection process. The best alternative is selected out of many available ones. If there is only one alternative, there is no decision making. So decision making is about principle of alternatives, right? Then we talk about principle of limiting factors. Principle of limiting factors. The fundamentals of the problem are studied. An inference or a conclusion is drawn on the basis of the study. The manager takes a decision with the help of an inference to or the conclusion. And the decision may be based on a limiting factor such as time, cost or resources. The reason is that this decision can be implemented in a particular situation. I gave this example about employees reaching the office at 9 a.m. sharp. So there the limiting factor is what? 9 a.m. is a limiting factor. So every decision will be centered around 9 a.m. as a focal point. So there are many decisions we take where the limiting factors have to be spelled out. The limiting factor for a parent to allow the girl, the child, to go out for a party, maybe the time in which he or she returns. 10 p.m. you must return. Limiting factor of taking a decision. So the decision will be taken in such a way that 10 p.m. you must be back home. Several situations we can take where we use the limiting factors decision making principle. Right? The principle of participation. Very good, a beautiful way of taking decisions. It is also called as participatory decision making, which we are using in a lot of scenarios today. The principle is based on human behavior and human relationship. Each and every person wants to be treated as an important person. So the management may allow the employees to have a say in the process of decision making, a group decision, right? Subordinates are consulted and the weightage given to the opinion expressed by the subordinates, even though they may not be concerned with the matter. There's a sense of involvement, employee engagement, right? And this honors the presence and the results in winning their confidence. The management can ascertain the reaction of the employees to the proposed decision. This is very common today in global working. We encourage decision making through participation. More number of heads are better than one single head. So we keep asking opinions. And wonder of wonders, friends, I'm sure many of you must have gone through this. You know, sometimes the best decisions come from the most innocuous person. There are enough of material available in the net. You know, many people are talking about their own experiences wherein I'm asking something to a person who doesn't seem to be qualified to answer me, perhaps. But you never know. He sees a perspective which I don't see. We all know what happens when we buy our laptops and all that, right? A few weeks back, it so happened I bought a laptop. You know, I had a laptop in which there was some problem. So I'm trying to boot the system. My training program is about to start and there's a little tense moment. Everything is prepared, but when at the time of starting the laptop, there was some issue. So I was going in my technical way. Suddenly comes the hotel where I was conducting this training program, the banquet room. That boy comes in, very humble. He's a guy who comes and keeps water. So he said to me, "Sir, any problem?" I said, "Look, it's not opening there. I have a little bit of issue." I literally ignored him. Let me be honest. And this guy comes and tells me very nicely, very innocently, "Sir, switch it off and switch it on," which I know, but I did not know at that point of time. I literally obeyed him and then I switched it off and I switched it on and lo behold, everything was working. So when you talk about principle of participation, it can come from anybody in short. Are we open to the fact that anybody can give us an opinion or a path towards a decision? This is the way today organizations actually operate very well. In fact, most of the decisions are participatory decisions today. One person sows a seed of a major decision to be taken, but he wants to be sure whether it's going to be giving maximum contribution to the company, maximum benefits. So he involves participative. And that's how decisions are taken today, right? The administrative points for decision making is covered here. Three points are important: accuracy, environment, timely decision. A decision should be taken by analyzing the situation and should be accurate. What do you mean by administrative points, by the way? Administration is a type of how the decision has to be properly controlled in terms of its usefulness. Administration is required for the purpose of running a particular process properly. I need to administrate it properly, right? So when I'm taking a decision, it should be taken by analyzing the situation and should be accurate. Now this I would like to slightly differ. When I say accurate means, I am assuming that it should be as near to what I thought of in terms of planning, considering all the resources. No human being can ever take an accurate decision at the time of taking it, know that he has taken it. But one has to understand that this could be the most accurate decision, could be the most accurate, need not be. And that consciousness is important, that awareness is important. The environment, mutual cooperation, proper understanding among employees are necessary for creating a satisfactory environment which will lead to effective decisions. The environment in which you are taking a decision is also very, should be conducive, supportive. And there should be a lot of understanding, proper understanding, etc. This does not happen all the time. In spite of that, people have to take decisions. Right? In hostile atmospheres also, people have taken decisions and it has worked out. Right? And the last one is timely decision. Time plays an important role in decision making, otherwise the decision will be a waste. We say in a sense of timing, the sense of timing, I must know the right decision at the right time. Now that's again important. Now who decides a number of factors, including the person who's taking the decision? Communication. The decision maker should communicate the decisions to the concerned persons in the language known to them. Very important. Need not be in good English all the time. Once a decision is taken, you have to communicate. Again, communication has got an emotional element. How you communicate is important, with what words, when you communicate, those are very important. So once a decision is taken, suppose the company is laying off people, you have to break the news. So how do you break the news? When do you break the news? To whom do you break the news? How do you communicate to them timely, before it's too late, before the grapevine brings it to them? It's important, right? Participative decision making, the extent of participation of workers in decision making depends upon the willingness of the management. It should be a two-way process. Management should be willing and people will participate. It is necessary to allow workers to play their role while taking a decision. And implementation, the decision maker has the responsibility to implement the decision. He should get the cooperation of his subordinates to implement the decision. Okay? And now we talk about certain types of decision. I'm not covering all of them. I'll just keep it as it is. I'll talk a few of them. Program decisions versus non-program decisions, which are based on time. A program decision is one that is taken on a certain time-bound thing. In the next 2 years, I'm going to do something. That's a program decision. I'm going to do something, but when, I do not know. That is a non-program decision. As a program and non-program decisions are very common in our day-to-day life. Okay? Then we have certain decisions which are major with respect to a certain context, and minor with respect to the same context. So major and minor decisions are very subjective. So I wouldn't like to give too much of importance to this, very frankly, because major and minor is decided by the context. Operative decisions which have to do with the functions and the process which you have to take. A certain operation has to get into action right now. Operative decisions which have to take a certain results which are expected. Organization decisions turned by the personal decisions of individuals, and individual decision also, and the list goes on. Okay, certainty and uncertainty decisions also there. Then there are crisis decisions. Okay, decisions to do with non-economic decisions which have to do with not about money or something, but something else, to go for an outing, go for a movie. Those are also decisions which one takes, or shifting the canteen premises from A to B location. Okay. Various characteristics of managers. What are the personal qualities one needs to have to be a good decision maker? At least to have the basic qualities. Intelligence, education. Education not as in qualification. Education as in education. Being aware of what the attributes on which you are taking a decision. If I have to take a decision on buying a computer, then I must know what is a computer. That education I need to have, right? Experience, courage, most important, motivation, forecasting abilities, and self-confidence. These are some few human qualities that are important for taking a good decision. And with this, friends, we are concluding the video lectures for this book, Principles of Management. I'm sure it's been a very colorful, enlightening, transformative journey for all of you. And I'm wishing you all the best.